And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about we are down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden. Got parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, listen, we're gonna move into this next topic. This is an odd one, all right? You know, I say every day the triple story, three stories you got to know, but I also say the three themes. Well, this one would have to be more like a theme, all right? I'm looking at this and thinking, first of all, when did everything become so toxic? Stuff that we just see and often appreciate in real life is so often labeled as toxic. Like, no, it's not. Story off the New York Times actually is headlined that. This is from October of 2018. So go with me. I had to reach back for this one, but I found it. And I thought, you know what? It's a good intro. I'm going to grab that one. The headline is, when did everything get so toxic? Now, this was like in the wake of the Brett Kavanaugh hearings and how things were so difficult. But the author goes on to describe things like the term toxic masculinity, which reads as vaguely academic, and goes on to say that Vox magazine didn't even bother to define it. They just used it because it was like, oh, you know what that means. I'll just say toxic masculinity, and there it is. Well, those words, it says in this article, too often pair together and describe these strict gender norms that encourage men to repress their emotions and exhibit dominance to the point of aggression. I see it just the opposite here. First of all, let's begin to separate if we can. It's not toxic to be masculine, and yet so often what liberals want to do is they want to take the thing and they want to make everything about the thing toxic. Masculinity is not toxic. Being a jerk is toxic, and there's a big difference. This particular article goes on to say, in the public sphere, culture, politics, and every form of social online interaction, it can all be contaminated, and the infection is starting to spread. It says the study of modern toxicology dates back to the 16th century, when the physician Paracelsus determined that toxicity is a matter of dosage more than essence, whatever that means. All they're saying here is this. They're saying that too much of a good thing can be a bad thing. They even point out in this article that, you know, you can drink too much water and even that can be bad for you. I got news. The things that God designed are not bad. You can corrupt them, but don't try and say that everything about that thing is now bad. Don't be toxically masculine. Because in my opinion, what happens when you start branding things as toxic masculinity and you begin to blur the lines between, you know, what is a man and what is masculine and what is acceptable. And you get things like the story that we got out of Huntsville with a middle school teacher in drag reading to kids and that being a normalized, overly sexualized thing. And yet he's a dude, allegedly. No, he's not masculine at all. And there's nothing about what he was doing that in any way should be a part of what we consider to be masculine. Not a bit. Well, he was standing for his beliefs. No, he wasn't. He was perpetrating. But see, this debate rages right now. It does. I mean, and if you want to call in, I'll be glad to take your thoughts on this. Tell me where you think I'm wrong. Toxic masculinity. Have you been around people in your office that were tough to be around? Yeah, I have. And it was a guy, and there was one guy in particular at an office that I worked at in the Pentagon, actually. It was so awful that I finally had to go and confront him on it. But see, that's what you do. You don't just let it ride. You don't let the person insult everybody. You don't let him demean other people. You don't let him demean women, for that matter. You don't let him get away with all that stuff. There's a difference between being masculine and being a jerk. What the liberals want you to believe is that masculinity is toxic. No, being a jerk is toxic. And there's a vast difference. When liberals attack masculinity, it drives men into places they don't need to be. There's an interesting article, Washington Post. Washington Post, Phil, you went to the Washington Post? I did. I went there. Washington Post, November of last year, so not quite a year old. Senator Josh Hawley said in a speech that he told fellow conservatives they have to stop liberals from continuing to attack masculinity and creating what he called a nation of idle men who just sit around watching pornography and playing video games instead of working and raising their families. He went on to say it's time to call for a return to traditional gender roles. He said liberals attempt to give us a world beyond men as a part of their larger effort to deconstruct America, an endeavor that, according to the Senator Hawley in the story, includes things like critical race theory, economic socialism, doing away with the concept of gender altogether. In his words, he said, the left wants to define traditional masculinity itself as toxic. That was my point. When I saw this article, I thought, in fact, what's funny, Boomer, I had this thing resourced out last Friday, right? I found this article this morning.
Right.
So, I mean, it was like, okay, I feel somewhat affirmed in what I'm saying because
it's right there.
Here it is. And by the way, it's in the Washington Post, which is also
interesting.
Hawley called for conservatives to fight the, quote, attack on men and push for a revival of strong and healthy manhood in America. I agree with that. And this whole thing is not just the one piece that I'm talking about. They label things toxic that they don't agree with. They label the entire thing. You can't get past it anymore. Oh, you cannot do that anymore. You can't be so positive. That's toxic. You can't because by the way, they want you to believe that everything's bad so they can bring you their solutions. No, it's not. I feel like I'm rambling here, but I hope you're getting my point. Hawley went on to say in his article in the Washington Post, we need the kind of men who make republics possible. It's not too much to say that our ability to get that kind of men will determine the success of our long experiment in liberty. Experts, though, here's the counterpoint. Washington Post had to have the counterpoint because it is the Washington Post. And well, let me rephrase that. I don't mind counterpoint in reporting. What's interesting to me is it's the Washington Post allowing him to even have a say as a conservative. Experts say they're not challenging masculinity. They're just challenging some of its harmful downsides like stoicism, dominance, aggression, or what has been colloquially referred to as toxic masculinity. But I disagree. I agree with Hawley. I think what they're saying is that by and large, liberals want to break down the norms of what is considered masculine. And in doing so, they create the idea that masculinity in and of itself is toxic. So let me ask you this. I think I said this. Didn't I have a monologue recently? I believe I did. Who am I asking? I'm talking to myself right now. Boomer's got his back to me. I'm just speaking. I don't know. Didn't I do this thing? I did. I was talking to myself, and I said to myself, I said self, because that's what I call myself when I talk to myself. Self, didn't you say a thing? Yes, I did. But the reality is this. I said here most recently that what we've got is a situation where the norms are being broken down, where the things that we call truth are being told that they're wrong. We're being told on a regular daily basis that which is considered traditional and conservative and valuable, things that very often relate to our faith, that we're being told somehow those are wrong. Let me suggest something to you. In my opinion, God created masculinity the same as he created femininity. He knew exactly what he was doing. And the thing that I said in my monologue the other day that I was about to get to was if you were being held hostage somewhere, if you were the one being held hostage by terrorists and you heard that there was a rescue mission being put together, do you want the ones who question their gender and they suppress their ability to be firm and stoic in the middle of a crisis? Do you want the ones who literally make sure they know everybody's pronouns before they say anything in a meeting? No. You want the people who are rough and ready, will do whatever's necessary, who can take care of people in the process, and will get the job done at whatever cost. That's who you want coming to rescue you. What you want is a masculine man. And that's what, and by the way, God created masculinity. I don't have any problem saying it. I've told you on this show, I will talk about my faith whenever I darn well please. And the reality is, I believe that God created masculinity and he created it for a purpose. And the very idea that liberals are going to try and take something so innate in you look at, and I know that there's gender dysphoria, and I know that liberals want you to believe that you can be transgender in the womb. No, this stuff is learned. Culture is allowing this to happen. And it is time for us to stop the madness with allowing them to say toxic masculinity. There's a big difference between being masculine and being a jerk. So if you got a jerk in the office, well, that's when you deal with it. So it's interesting, I should say, in the office, because the next article I've got here comes from SHRM. If you're not familiar, SHRM, the Society of Human Resource Management. SHRM wrote a piece in March of 2021 right about the time we were talking about forming this radio show, as a matter of fact. Sherm wrote this piece in, it's called How Toxic Masculinity is Ruining Your Workplace Culture. Let me just suggest to you, the issue is not toxic masculinity. Like I said, masculinity was created by God. The issue is whether or not you have someone in the office who's a jerk, and there's a big difference. Got a caller on the line, Boomer? I'll do that real quick before I jump into this article. Who's that? Sparky? Yeah, Sparky on line two. How you doing, bud?
Hey, great show by you and Boomer.
Thanks, bud.
Hey, some of this stuff goes in cycles. I remember in the 70s when there was the term male chauvinist pig and he's a macho man and all this other stuff. But it was pretty harmless because, well, here's why. The federal government didn't shove it down your throat.
Oh, yeah.
That you will believe this way or you will believe that way, and you will pledge allegiance to the wonderfulness of transgender awesomeness. Tragic state of affairs. Probably one of the big reasons if conservatives and Republicans and independents will get to the polls in early November, there will be a red wave. Probably one of the biggest reasons is this nonsense. My wife told me years ago, because she heard that they were letting women be firefighters in where we lived near Honolulu, and she said, "I don't want a woman firefighter. I want a big, strapping, masculine, tough, shirtless man to break down that door and rescue me out of my burning house." And I said, "Yeah, I get it, but if they can pass the strength test, all of a sudden." But that's a different discussion than your excellent points that you're making right now.
Well, thank you, brother. And I'm pretty sure you just described the cover of a Harlequin romance novel. I'm not sure.
Yes, I did.
No, but your point's well taken. And you're right. You know, I can remember in the 70s, male chauvinist pig, all the things. But you're right. The difference, I think, is this has become like an official mantra now. And it's like every day.
It is. And it's so absurd. It's to the point that even the unsavory, dishonest Barack Obama had a moment of clarity this week in an interview where he, in very cautious terms, advised his fellow Democrats to knock off the stupid stuff and the canceling stuff and the nonsensical stuff and concentrate on the important things. I guess if he had worded it a little closer to what you and I are saying, he would be excoriated too.
Yeah, probably so. All right, Sparky, appreciate you, man. As always, great commentary. We got to run to a break. All right, Boomer, take us to the break, brother. We'll do that, and I'm going to come right back. Number one of the triple dipper here, toxic everything. I'm going to say a little bit more on toxic masculinity, but before I finish that up, though, how about toxic positivity? Is it possible that having a strong outlook on life and remembering to encourage yourself and remember what your blessings are is just a bad thing? They want you to believe it is because you're repressing your true feelings. How about this? You're working through it. That's what's happening. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. So let me tell you, we got some folks on the text lines. The number is 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. What do we had here? I had one, Sheila from Madison, with regards to toxic masculinity being a mantra of the liberals, says, what better way to destroy families than to eliminate strong fathers? And I said, agreed. And then Jeremy from Huntsville says, when I cut down an 8-inch tree limb while standing atop a 32-foot ladder or tightening the last lug after replacing the brakes of my truck or let out a giant belch, I exclaim, I am all that is a man. Yeah, I'm not sure that was God's design, but there, you know, who knows? Maybe it was. I don't know. Good job, Jeremy. Appreciate you, bro. Line one, we got a call, Boomer. Line one, Sid from Hartsel. Hey, Sid, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. You?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. What's on your mind?
Just calling about your subject matter there. If people, at least Christians like myself and you, we believe what the Bible says. If you believe what the Bible says, then you got to believe that God created man and created him in his image. And we all know that God is, he's all everything. He's strong. He's everything. He's kind. He's all. And he created man that way. And then he created woman. This is how they, and that was man would be one who would gather things in, and the woman would be the one who would cook them up and so forth and so on. Not meaning that they can't be partners and do, you know, that kind of stuff together. But even if you don't believe in the Bible, you got to believe in nature. If you believe in nature, you look and you see there's a male and there's a female. And always the male is the dominant one of the bunch. The female may be the hunter, but the male is dominant, just like with lions. The female hunts, but if the male lion don't like what she does, it puts her in its place by being strong. And, you know, so I don't see how anybody can look at this situation and say, oh, you know, dominant males is wrong, because they're not. If it is, the world's wrong in general.
Yeah, and I think there's a vast difference, though, Sid. And I think you know this. I don't think you're saying it wrong, but there's a vast difference between being dominant in terms of domineering and just being the stronger one of the two. I think it's designed. I mean, you know, the muscle structure, the bone structure of a man is different than that of a woman's by and large, with very few examples. Right. And then, but at the same time, you can be dominant in terms of you're the stronger of the two without being domineering, and that's an important factor.
Right, and God says that. He says it in the Bible that the head of the household is the head of the household, but he also says you don't make your kids and your wife mad by being domineering over them.
I do know what you're saying, and I agree, and I think that's the thing. It's like I said a moment ago, if I had to break it down into, like, you know, layman's terms, there's a big difference between being masculine and being a jerk. Hey, Sid, I got to run before we run out of time, but thanks for the call, bud. Appreciate you very much waiting on during the break. All right, take care. Article from SHRM, Society of Human Resources Management. These are the people, by the way. This is if you're not familiar with SHRM, sure, if you're a human resource manager, you know that SHRM is supposed to be the industry leader in all things related to human resources and handling your personnel issues. And they got a whole article here, How Toxic Masculinity is Ruining Your Workplace Culture. The interesting thing is, when you read, it's written by a female, Holly Althoff, in March of last year. The interesting thing is, she does not ever take into account the fact that women can be jerks too. And they can. They absolutely can. I won't go into all the examples of all the different things in which she really believes that, you know, this is a key example that when this kind of thing happens, that means a male dominance. When this kind of thing happens, that means it's like the good old boy system. And I know those things occur. I'm not saying they don't. But it's essential, she says, to separate traditional masculinity from toxic behaviors. I agree. That's why you label it as being a jerk. Why is the word masculinity being used in this at all? Why? Why is the word masculinity anywhere in this human resource article? It shouldn't be. Because what she described was not, if we said this was being done, these behaviors she describes were being done by females, we would just say, well, that person's a jerk. But since they're describing something being done, you know, hypothetically by males, it's toxic masculinity. It's not. Masculinity is not a phrase or a word that should be used in this context whatsoever. She goes on to say, toxic masculinity involves an ultra-competitive, dog-eat-dog work style that supports a patriarchal system designed to keep men on top. You see where we're going here, right? We're about to get into diversity, equity, and inclusion here in a minute. It's called sexism. It's called being a jerk. Big difference, toxic masculinity. I got news. Be masculine. Be masculine all day long. All right, we got plenty more where that came from. I ain't done. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. We got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. We cover down on all of the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, man, I tell you what, we got some good text messages. Jerry from Decatur just texted in, said, with regards to what we're talking about, the toxic, you know, I'm talking about not just toxic masculinity, but that's been the bulk of the topic so far. But it's toxic everything. They want to label things toxic. Well, with regards to toxic masculinity, Jerry from Decatur just texted in and said, this has been going like way too far back since women began burning their bras, which it's a thing that happened in the late 60s, early 70s in the women's movement. I don't know why that was a form of protest, but okay. But he says, Peyton Manning mooning a female reporter in the Tennessee dressing room to what it is today. I think the problem is humility. Now, I don't remember Peyton Manning mooning a female reporter. But anyway, all that to say, his last point, I think, is it. The problem is humility. Yeah, it is not enough to say, be a man. There is a way to be masculine without being a jerk. There is a way to be masculine and walk in the authority God has placed in you and to be a great father and a great husband and a good leader within your community and to be an engaging person at your office, to be someone who knows how to lead even if you're not in charge. It is possible to do all these things. It is possible to stand up in a crisis, to say the right thing at the right time. It is possible to comfort someone who's down. And all these things can happen, and you don't have to be a jerk. But when you take the word masculinity and you make masculinity part of the definition of the problem, you've gone too far. Because you see, the masculinity, and I said it in the previous hour as I was getting these comments together, masculinity, in my opinion, was created by God. God created femininity. He created masculinity. And so to say that it's toxic masculinity, no, it's not. It's called being a jerk, period. End of story. Sherm writes their piece, and they start getting so into the wokeisms. Toxic masculinity, SHRM, the Society for Human Resource Management. This came out of their periodical, by the way, which is supposed to be it's like the Journal of the American Medical Association. For human resources, SHRM is it, all right? SHRM says in this article dated March of 2021 how toxic masculinity is ruining your workplace culture. Toxic masculinity involves an ultra-competitive dog-eat-dog work style that supports a patriarchal system designed to keep men on top. It encourages the mindset that outspoken men are assertive while outspoken women are aggressive. Toxic masculinity is on display when men interrupt or talk over women, take an inflexible attitude, and navigate the workplace like a battle zone to be conquered. These behaviors keep the old boys club alive and well in our workplaces. I got news. What Holly from Sherm just described is called being a jerk. And I've seen women do it. Don't think for a second that women can't display some of those same behaviors, because they can. So don't take the term masculinity and create that. Okay, but then the second page of Sherm's article. Men who are subjected to gender stereotypes at a young age often believe they must be dominant and in control to be manly. When they don't feel they possess the traits of a real man, they may overcompensate with behaviors perceived to fit the mold. Okay. No, if they were raised by a jerk, they'll grow up to be jerks. If they were raised by somebody who models godliness, who models masculinity, who says, son, watch me as I lead our household. Watch me as I am willing to step into the fire if necessary. Watch me as I keep my head up when the bills are it's hard to pay the bills. Son, watch me as I say on Sunday morning, yeah, I'm tired from a long week of work, but I'm going to church and you're going too. Well, son, watch me when you fall down on the soccer field or on the baseball field and I tell you to get up and brush it off and keep moving. Understand, son, that's what you need to do in life, and I'm teaching you as a dad. These things are masculine. And there's nothing wrong with them. I'm telling you what, this topic is morphing in my mind right now. I feel like I made the entire topic on masculinity. But take it and run with it. I mean, I had a great dad, me personally. I was raised by someone who I looked up to. my dad was the best man in my wedding for a good reason. And I have no qualms of saying that my dad, who, you know, multiple decorations for valor in Vietnam, you know, career Army officer, businessman, somebody who ran for office, somebody who did a lot of things in life, I still look at with high esteem. I was showed an example. And I don't know why this whole toxic masculinity, no, toxic jerkinity is what it is. Let me switch gears though. Let me get off the masculinity thing for a second before I run out of time on this segment, because I'm going to switch gears here in a minute. How about toxic positivity? This one cracks me up. Boomer, do you know it's a bad thing to be too positive?
I didn't know this.
Well, it is.
Well,
keep your chin up, old boy.
Don't be positive.
No, that's
too
right.
Too positive.
That's right.
Don't be too positive.
Hey, keep a smile on your face, buddy. Everything's going to work
smile
out.
Smile on your face, but don't smile too much.
Now, I got news. I mean, if somebody came along and you were in the middle of it, like you're at a funeral, and they walked up and say, pat you on the back and say, it's going to be okay. You might want to punch them in the mouth.
Right.
Which could be considered toxic masculinity by some. But anyway, all that to say, there's a time and a place. I get
right.
it. Okay. But their point in this whole movement towards toxic positivity, I know. I see the look on your face.
I'm trying to grasp it right now in my head, but I'm eager to hear what they have to say about it.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not.
Say it anyway.
I'm not eager at all. I'm like, I just want to know what in the world do they have to say about it.
All right, so here's things like, so it says cultivating a positive mind. Okay, this is an article from Wall Street Journal. That's how mainstreamed the phrase toxic positivity is. They write about it in the Wall Street Journal. By the way, I've got a friend. I tell you what, Boomer, you know Birdman. Birdman sent me a picture of a slide once that was being used in a student lecture at UAH, and the whole slide was on toxic positivity and how you don't need to be positive, so positive all the time.
Wow, really?
Yeah. I mean,
so
what
they're using it in school.
Oh, listen, bro, this is the thing. So here it is. Part of the article from the Wall Street Journal. We're all guilty of it. Many of us were taught as children to banish so-called bad feelings, to pick ourselves up when we fall, to stop complaining and count our blessings. And our fix-it-fast culture reinforces the message that to be positive is to succeed. This is bad. What did I just read that was bad? So, okay, let me ask all y'all out there listening, all my thousands of folks who tune in, if you had the opportunity to hang out with somebody who had life issues going on, and they were like Eeyore, and all they did was go, oh, poo, woe is me. I don't know that I can carry on. And every little issue became amplified in their mind. How much do you want to hang out with them, as opposed to the person who says, oh, my gosh, I can't believe what just happened. All right, dadgummit. Look, man, we got to keep moving. We can't stop now, though. We're not going to stop now. We're gonna make this work. Which person do you want to hang out with? Toxic positivity.
Not Eeyore.
I'm just saying. That's why he was the Eeyore character.
Oh, man.
All right, so, you know, they point out in here there's a time and a place. All right, but you know, there's a great story. And this is twice now that I've gone to, you know, sort of a scriptural reference. There's a great story when King David returned, before he was king, he returned to his village with his warriors and found that the Amalekites had raided his village, literally raided his village, destroyed everything, set it on fire, captured all the women and children and carted them away. His own men were so furious at him, they wanted to stone him, David. And it says that David, for a moment there, he despaired. And then it says he sat down and did what's called, and the scripture calls it, encouraging himself in the Lord. In other words, what he did was he reminded himself how many times God had gotten him through something. And after he'd encouraged himself in the Lord, it says that he prayed about it, and he literally said, what should I do, God? Should I go after him? And God said, you should go after him. And he did. He went out and he killed them all. I'm just saying. He got every single one of the women and children were rescued. And it's an amazing story. But the part in there that got me, Charlene pointed this out to me not long ago. The part in there that got me was the fact that in the middle of a devastating crisis, when everybody around him was mad at him and wanted to even stone him, they wanted to put him to death, when his wives, his children, his village was wiped out. You can't talk about greater loss. And by the way, it was a shock. It came as a surprise. They didn't know it had happened. It wasn't like it built up for a period of time. He had time to get ready for it. No, it was a devastating, hit you in the gut, suck the wind right out of your sails kind of moment. And what did he do? He sat down, he caught his breath, and he reminded himself that God is bigger than this, and he moved through it. And he sought the Lord on what he should do next, and guess what he did then? He went out and he made something happen. That is both masculine and positive all at the same time. Brother, that just happened. I didn't even plan that little speech.
That was good.
Well, I got news, man. The left wants to call the things they don't like toxic. And credit where credit's due, I found a little piece here that somebody wrote. It's like an op-ed of her own. Someone named Elisha Beach, I don't know who it is. She has her own website called scarymommy.com. I don't know. I didn't go to the website to know what else is on there, but it's called Scary Mommy. But she points out that the toxicity of calling everything toxic. So credit to Elisha Beach. The toxicity of calling everything toxic. And she says the new favorite buzzword is toxic. It seems everyone's calling everything toxic. And it's starting to feel like a sweeping generalization to classify anything that offends or triggers someone toxic. But constantly labeling somebody as toxic or something as toxic because you feel triggered by it is actually the toxic behavior. What a great point. And what a great spot to end that whole segment. All right, Boomer. I have sermonized, eulogized, theorized, and laid it out there.
Yes.
Let's go to a break. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative and just plain right. Before I jump over to the next section of the Triple Dipper, I got to tell you, I got some texts in. Appreciate Richard from Out in Harvest, who just said that he and his wife have a biblical worldview, and they appreciate that segment on toxic masculinity. Thank you, Richard. I appreciate that very much. Robert from Athens wants to know if maybe the hosts of The View are suffering from toxic masculinity. I don't know what that maybe. I don't know how to go ahead. I'll just leave that one where it is. And then we got where did it go? Hang on a second. I love this one. Scott from Somerville. Scott from Somerville just texted in, Boomer. He says, when I was about 5 years old, I went hunting with my grandfather. We were getting breakfast before we went out to the field. He poured my coffee. I asked if he had some milk and sugar for my coffee. He told me real men don't put that stuff in their coffee. He said, I've drank my coffee black ever since. My papaw is where I learned toxic masculinity, and I'm glad. That just rolled all over me, man.
That's good.
What you got?
I got something like from the last segment. You know, when we were talking about like endurance and stuff, is actually a verse, Romans 5:3-5.
Okay.
It says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
Are you telling me you're toxically positive?
Toxically positive.
That's good, man. Romans what?
5:3-5.
Romans 5:3-5. That's good stuff. So yeah. I've heard that before and did not. I think I have to try to find a way to memorize that one now.
Yeah, it's a good one to remember.
It is. Okay, so the bottom line there, though, is that goes right to the thing. Toxic positivity. Okay, listen, if you're literally saying in the middle of a crisis, look, man, we can get through this. We're going to work this out. It's going to be fine. This will be good. It's not necessarily denial. Sometimes it's exactly what you should be doing. Because the person who keeps their head in a crisis and keeps the team moving forward is the one that people want to be around. Mm-hmm. That's the one who gets things done. And the idea that you can somehow take positivity and declare it toxic, or masculinity and declare it toxic, Well, you just heard there. I mean, Boomer just read the verse. There it is. Those hard times, they are designed to build that character that you need for the next hard time. And, oh, by the way, that hope springs from it, and you keep moving forward. And then masculinity, same thing. Masculinity is not toxic. It can never be toxic. It was invented by God. If you want to declare it something toxic, declare being a jerk toxic. That's a different story. And by the way, men and women both can be jerks. So, bam.
Man.
Fired up.
Yes.
I'm not even going to, I can't even, I can't even go. All right, listen, we got to move on. Let me introduce the next topic. Because I might as well just go ahead and intro it, and there's no sense trying to get into the stack of stuff I got here. In a minute, my friend Will Blakely, he's one of the reporters at 1819 News, he'll be calling in. Will wrote a piece, so I literally resourced the show because I had some time. I did a lot of my resourcing last night, just hanging out at the house and got some stuff done. Had some meetings this morning, so needed to get those things, you know, kind of out of the way. Resourced the show last night, get up this morning, and find that 1819 News, one of the top stories on there, is a story by Will Blakely about the fact that our state treasurer, Young Boozer is his name, our Alabama state treasurer, is basically an article on whether or not Alabama is using that woke ESG criteria for the investments for our state. Well, that falls right in line with what I had already prepared last night. So I texted Will like 6:30 this morning. I do this all the time. There's probably people that hate the fact that I get up early because I start sending out texts. I've been known to text people at, you know, 5:30 in the morning. Hey, man, what are you doing today? You want to call on the show? But I did. I texted Will like 6:30 this morning and said, hey, I'm doing a section called Go Woke, Go Broke. You want to call in? He's like, yeah. So Will's calling in just about 5 minutes. We'll just talk to him first. But here's the intro to the topic, Go Woke, Go Broke. So there's a real movement right now. You've seen it in corporate America to sort of get into the culture wars. And a lot of, because the squeaky wheels typically are on the left side, a lot of corporate America is deciding that it wants to take the position of the left. Never mind the fact that sometimes when they do that, it hurts their bottom line, their actual profitability. And when they do that, they have denied the fact, or denied the, they've denied the fact that they have a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders. Shareholders who invested in the company and expect a profitable return. And so when you have a company doing something that contravenes its charter in order to accomplish something that drives down its profit margins in order to speak into a cultural issue for which it has no real point in being involved, then guess what? You've got a situation where you can go woke, but you may go broke. And we're seeing that right now. And when I say broke, I'm not saying they're necessarily all, but they're losing profits. Story in the New York Post, beginning December 2nd. Actually, it was December 2nd of last year. So the headline was, Go Woke, Go Broke, Americans Don't Care for Corporate Activism. Got a poll that literally talks about the fact that while some corporate executives tend to agree that they think they should speak out, that very few of their actual consumers believe they should. Interesting, the dynamic between the boardroom and the consumer. All right, we're going to talk about that and talk to Will Blakely from 1819 News about his article on the same type stuff. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.